Well, I am glad you're all here tonight. We get to jump into God's Word. Can I open us again in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your love and giving it to us that we would know you. Pray that you be with me as I share it tonight. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for what happens. In your name, amen. So I love it when... I don't love that you're all dealing with humidity right now, but I do love it when the illustration is very easy, the connection is very easy. Tonight I get to talk about the blessing of perseverance. And I'm going to preach really long, and we're going to see how long you can persevere. How about that? No, I think there's nothing more exciting than sitting through a long, humidity-filled message. So we'll see how you do, but... the Bible is very clear that there is a great blessing attached by God to this idea of persevering, particularly persevering under trial or hardship. And tonight I want to talk about the blessing of perseverance. We're only going to talk about one verse, so that should give you hope. Just James chapter 1, verse 12. I can think of times, and I'm sure you can as well, think of times in your life where you endured something hard, and maybe you didn't know what the reward would be, but there was a reward for literally enduring it. Years ago, I was a student in Chicago, and I got a job, a one-time job. I replied to an ad that somebody posted on the wall in our dormitory for a one-day job on a Saturday. And it was in the merchandise mart downtown. And there was a company there that were kind of architectural distributors, and they had this one-day job. So I showed up on time, and I found out that I was one of three guys who was supposed to do this job. Only the other two guys didn't show up. So it just left me. And then I found out what the job was. The job was to move almost 100 limestone statues from the 6th or 7th floor of the merchandise mart into the freight elevators on carts and then load them on a truck because they were all going over to Navy Pier for a show. And so when I was the only guy who showed up, the gentleman who I now know as Mike, because he eventually became my boss, He was panicking, and he was trying to phone people, and so I just kind of was like, all right, we'll see how this goes. And I just started working as hard as I could. And literally, you would load about four or five of these statues onto a cart, take them to the freight elevators, down, out into the parking garage, load them on the truck, and then run. Literally, I surfed the cart a few times. It was awesome. But run the cart back and then get upstairs and get a next load as much as you can. And oh, by the way, don't break them because they cost more than you do. I did this as hard as I could for as long as I could. And at the end of the day, we made it on time. In fact, we got the last one loaded within like, literally it was down to like seconds when they had to get over to the Navy Pier and get unloaded. And so it all got done. I remember I was just drenched. My hands, I didn't have gloves, and they were chewed up. And Mike came up to me and said, I thank you for working so hard. And I was like, great. And I knew what he was going to pay me. And I was just like, oh, I don't even know if that was worth it. But then Mike paid me not only my salary, but he paid me the salary of the other two guys who didn't show up. Is the single most lucrative day of work I've ever had. It was awesome. I remember just being blown away. I couldn't believe this reward. And I remember thinking, I am so glad I did not bail. Because about halfway through it, I'm like, this is stupid. There's no way. And you just keep pressing. Friends, we are very different than what I just described to you. Yes, we are those who are going to receive a reward. Far more wonderful than that. But the great difference between myself and that scenario and us today is that we know exactly what God is going to do for us. The reward for staying in this posture of perseverance in hardship is not a mystery, what God wants to give you. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, the blessing of perseverance. Verse 12, and I appreciated it being read, says this, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him." I love it in Scripture because you get into a verse, and before you can even get three words in, you've discovered some wonderful thing. So I want to begin by talking about your blessing, and I am talking about your personal blessing. When you read, "Blessed is the man," does that sound like any other Scripture you've ever heard? Matthew 5, how many of you have heard the Beatitudes? "Blessed are the poor in spirit," or "Blessed are those who mourn," "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after it," "Blessed, blessed, blessed." This is Beatitude language. But this word, "blessed," right off the bat, should make you smile, because it is talking something immensely greater than happiness. In fact, whoever this is referring to is way more than happy. How many of you know that happiness is very fleeting in this world? Just the idea of everything coming together and you're not interrupted and everything's going great. And that's the world's idea of happiness. This is far different. In fact, what this is referring to is, blessed is the man, the woman, the child who is receiving the favor of God. Whatever it means to be the person who is the recipient of God's favor, you are truly blessed in a great way. Why is that true? Because you're far more than happy. You are what I'm going to call soul satisfied. You are experiencing a level of joy and satisfaction because you are someone who is in right relationship with God. And being in right relationship with God trumps everything that you could experience in life. Your best day, your worst day don't matter. What matters is, what is the condition of your relationship with God? I'm going to say something. I want you to think about it. And you tell me, I hope you'll get it, but here it comes. There is a great difference between favorable circumstances and favorable relationship with the one who is the master of circumstances. Did you hear what I just said? There is a great difference between favorable circumstances. How many of you are generally in favor of favorable circumstances? Does that sound good? Is it better than to have a favorable relationship with the one who is the master of all of these circumstances? See, blessing resides in having a right relationship and you being in right connection with God. It may come as a total shock to some of you this evening to find out that my dear wife Kim and I don't always agree. I know you've seen us and the halo above my head. It's actually just the reflection of the sun, you know? No, we're like anybody else, and we go through seasons of struggle, and some of those struggles have hurt. And the hardest place to be, and if you're a married person, you can say amen, preacher, to this, is when you are not in sync with your spouse. Amen, preacher. When you are in relationship, and I guess you could spread that out, but certainly for anyone who is married, to not be on the same page and to feel the insecurity of that moment. What does it mean that I'm hurting, that I don't agree with you, I feel far from you, that this isn't working out? It is a very unsettling thing. And I would tell you this, that after 25 years of marriage, happiness is not the absence of trials. Joy is the presence of confident relationship. Kim and I have walked through lots of things, but it is that reality of being together that has changed everything. Whether it was great or whether it was hard, when your relationship is one where you feel close and confidently connected, everything changes about how you face life. And that is what this passage is saying. Blessed are you when you are in right relationship to God, And that is the basis of everything else that flows in life. So blessed are you if that's true. Well, how does that blessing kind of show itself in your life? Well, it's interesting that it goes right away. Again, James, the king of the paradox, says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Blessed are you when you stay under the hard. Blessed are you when you don't run away from what is difficult. Certainly not just run away, but don't abandon your faith. Now, I want to explain this, because I have met a lot of Christians who don't think rightly about what this means. I'm one of them. And we all have selective knowledge sometimes when we're in the hard. But let me tell a few things to you. First, this. Blessedness does not consist of being free from trials. You are not blessed because everything is good. Blessing is not you absent hard. Now, the world, that's the best it can do. You're blessed if all your kids are healthy and love you and you're making enough money and But that's not blessing. Now, the reverse is also true. The fact that you are going through hardship is not blessed. I want to say that again. The fact that you're going through hard stuff is not blessed. I mean, how hypocritical, and I don't think I think some people really wrestle with this, consider it all joy, and we think, oh, I just need to be happy about cancer. I need to be joyful that I'm broke. Yay! I've got debt. Anybody else testify? Isn't it the greatest? Wait a minute. What is this saying? Friends, whether you are absent hard or you are present with it, that is not where blessing exists. Notice what it says. Blessing is to persevere under hardship. It is your attachment to God by faith that makes life blessed. You in the midst, I know several folks, and you've known them too, who are bitter, sourpussed Christians who are angry about the life they've been given by God. Don't point, because it'll point right back at you. What does this mean? It means that blessing is us holding on rightly to God. It means that, friends, that you do consider it all joy in the midst of circumstances. The model of your life is you are continually asking God for wisdom on the good days or the rough days. You are pressing into relationship with Him. What is blessed is holding on to Jesus in the midst of hard. Hard's not blessed. Holding on to Jesus in hard, that's blessed. How many of you have ever been out on a lake and gone tubing? Just wave at me. Have you ever noticed that whatever you thought before you jumped onto that tube, you're pretty sure you didn't look as impressive as you thought you would? Have you noticed that? Have you ever watched anybody tube? Like, it's very rare to find a person out there who's just like, got one hand on it, leaning back, got this. No, because we all know that you went tubing with your crazy uncle who decided to kill you when you got out on that thing and took the boat up way faster than it should, and you're just holding on white-knuckled, and your feet are flapping in the back. You know, you're holding on with your teeth. You did not look pretty. But what was the reward of that? You held on. You held on. I have one of those uncles, John Stead. God bless him. And I remember getting out there thinking I was going to be all impressive and, like, do the barrel roll thing and everything. I tell you, by the end of it, it was all I could do to just hold on. And the greatest reward in the world was to have my Uncle John look at me and go, I couldn't shake you. Thank you. Right here. Do you know that if I did that today, I would die? I just want you all to know that. It was a different season. Friends, holding on to Jesus in trials is itself the reward, is the blessing. Why? Because the word perseverance is very clear. It means to bear up under trials. It means to hold on. Robert Louis Stevenson, very famous writer, said that saints are sinners who keep going. Isn't that good? Saints are just sinners who keep going. You know what we are as people? We are those who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that by faith we hold on to Him believing He has forgiven us of our sins. How many of you are like me and that is one of the hardest things to believe God for? Some of the deepest trials we go through are ones of our own personal failure and sin. The greatest thing, the hardest thing to do is for not to run away from Him in that moment. You persevering means, Jesus, I am here. I'm still in my family. I'm still talking. I'm still going. I am believing You have forgiven me. I'm not going to live a guilt-bearing life. That's what that looks like. When God calls us to persevere, He calls us to stay in it by faith, believing that the hardship He's brought into it has a purpose, has a plan. Perseverance is that idea of holding on by faith. If that's what perseverance means, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. That under trial is the testing of your faith. I want to make this statement to you. If I were to ask you, and I just came up to you and said, what's the most precious thing you possess? You could say a lot of things that would lead into it, but I would hope you get around to saying, my faith. For by grace you have been saved through, without, it's impossible to please God. Friends, the most precious thing you own is not your spouse, and you don't own them anyway, and if you try to live that way, woe be unto you. But anyway, the most precious thing you have is not your children. It's not your house. And all these things are worthy and of immense value in their own light, but they are not the most precious thing you possess. The most precious thing you have is your faith. And without that faith, you don't have a relationship with God. So let me tell you something. God wants to test, and He wants to persevere, and He wants to show you that the faith you own is real. But do you know the number one thing American Christianity prays for? God, please don't ever make me have to see if my faith is real. We literally can live our lives chasing somewhere over the rainbow, and the very thing God wants to show you the most, what's the thing He wants to give you the most? Confidence that your faith is real. I would just say this. The thing my fleshly heart wants the most is not to be tested. I'll take a chance. How many of you would admit to knowing Harry Potter? Put up your pinky if you're confident. You know Harry Potter. How many of you know some of the characters in Harry Potter? How many of you know who I'm talking about if I tell you Hermione Granger? If you don't know who this person is, in all these stories and movies that came out, Hermione is one of these really close friends of Harry Potter. And she is this brainiac. She is someone who knows and loves knowledge and loves accumulating it. And there's always these hilarious moments, certainly in the movies, because they get to the end of the epic adventure, whatever happened in the movie, you know, they got saved from such and such, and they made it through such and such. And because they made it, Dumbledore, who's like the principal of their wizarding school, will stand up and say something like, and because of this, all testing has been canceled. Well, you can imagine, of course, what happens. The school goes nuts. But then they pan in on Hermione, and she's like, no. How many of you know one of these people? They like love tests. Any of you know one of those? I mean, they're rare. But this girl, she is so discouraged because she wants to be tested on the knowledge she's accumulated. Can I tell you guys something? That's what Christians look like. That's why the world doesn't get what it is we've got. Because if we have the gospel and we have a belief in our salvation, what happens is that Christians are not hypocrites when hard things come. They don't celebrate hardship like, oh, yay, we're going through something difficult. Nor do they lean so far into the absence of conflict that they just want to avoid trouble. No, when hard comes, they don't flinch. Why? Because they believe it is at this moment God wants to show them the reality of their salvation. And all they can come up with is, I don't know how this is going to end, but at the end of the day, I will have more of Jesus Christ. And that is what I want. Friends, God is cultivating in us an appetite for Jesus. To persevere under trial means to be tested in the realm of your faith. This should be the one thing that we want above all else. What should I want? I should want a real faith. A confident faith. Not in me, but in Jesus. I want that to be something I don't wonder about. I know who God is. I know what He'll do. You know, not too long ago, my wife and I had the privilege of having a conversation with a couple. And this couple were sitting across from us and they were testifying to the amazing things that God had done in their life. And the young lady started out by telling us that I used to live my life in fear of what if the worst happened. And she literally was talking about it. I literally did everything to keep myself from the worst happening. She goes, but then it happened. The worst happened. The worst thing I could imagine happened to me. And she went on to say, it was then that I found out my faith was real. And that Jesus Christ was sufficient for me. And that I could trust Him. And you should have seen the light in that girl's eyes. Because standing right next to her was her husband, who was part of the broken, and he sat there and said, I used to live my life like I was sufficient. He goes, I can't tell you how much God has given us and how much more we know Him because the worst has happened. Friends, how many of you are praying to have an uncertain life? I mean, right now, how many of you are actually sitting here and when you think about it, you go, my prayer life consists of me asking God to never put me in a position where I really need Him or know Him. We do it all the time. We do it without thinking. We've missed the moment. Friends, God has already given us an immense reward. He wants us to experience it. Having said that, look at what the reward is. If you and I persevere, hold on to Jesus Christ, by faith, look at where the verse goes. For once He has been approved, He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. It's really interesting when you, I was goofing around this week trying to do an advertisement online for our thing, and I did a post on Facebook and I put this crown on my head, and it obviously didn't fit if you watch the video, big melon. And so this little crown sticking up off my head, and what I was thinking about later on is that's not the picture of the type of crown this is talking about. See, this crown is really talking about the victor's wreath, the laurel wreath that would be given to the victor in the Greek games that were going on. So if you persevered and you won the marathon, or you were able to throw your opponent in the wrestling matches, or whatever the competition was, they'd bring you up on stage and they would put this laurel wreath on your head. Well, James is borrowing that image, and what he's telling you is saying, look, this is the crown that comes because you have endured. You are now receiving the crown. Now, what's the crown called? The crown of life. And that is the word for eternal life. So what is this talking about? You receive the crown of eternal life. Now, some of us get nervous when we see things like, for once He has been approved, and many people can take this verse and say, oh, then trials are a test, and if you fail them, you don't go to heaven. No, that's not at all what this is saying. What this is talking about is the fact that perseverance does not result in salvation. Perseverance does not result in eternal life. But it is itself the result and evidence of salvation and eternal life. Friends, have you ever heard the phrase perseverance of the saints? It is the promise that you are truly saved. You will persevere and you will grow in your faith and you will move beyond where you are in your faith. And in fact, what this crown of life is, it is actually you finally receiving the fullness of the eternal life you were given the minute you put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thought. Receiving an imperishable, eternal gift from God. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says this, "Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, we an imperishable." And notice what it says, "once he has been approved." Friends, what is God doing in this life with you? Have you ever thought about that? Like, what's the point? Why don't we all just check out? Who's for heaven right in this moment? Doesn't sound too bad. I mean, who wants to live through this election year? Come on. I don't. Even so, come Lord Jesus. What is God doing? Doing what he promised. Jesus promised you something when he saved you. And as that is, he was going to remake you and make you anew in his image. He was going to transform you. And he was going to do that in the midst of a broken world. And his transformation process of your life, and you're trusting him, what would that result in? That would result in praise and glory being given to God, because it doesn't make any sense in this world. The world is chasing a temporal happiness, but you are living for an eternal one you've already been given. You're radically set free. It's a totally different thing. Persevering under trials proves that. The other thing is that, do you notice how the verse ends? This crown is given to those who love them, love him. I just want to tell you something. Do you want to know that's one of the most powerful descriptions of a Christian? What is a Christian? Someone who genuinely loves God, truly loves him. And the proof of their love is that they do not fall away when hard happens. Now, I got to tell you, how many of you are glad for sanctification and that God is our perfection, not us? But there is no place for us to go so far down that spectrum that says that if there is nothing of faith in your life, that you should be feeling too confident. In fact, James' whole point, and we'll get to it, that faith without works, without evidence, is a dead faith. And James is really jumping on right here. He's saying, look, if you love Christ, you're going to, by faith, hold on to him. And that love is going to anchor you and carry you through hard times. Why? Because you love him. How many of you find you're a little more apt to hang in there for somebody you love? Amen? You know, I can remember the first time my wife told me she loved me. It was an awesome moment. Shocking and awesome, you know. But here's what you got to know. It is no more true than it was the first time she told me, but 25 years later, when she says, I love you, it means more to me. Because there are 25 years of ups and downs, 25 years of very highs and very lows, sorrows and laughter, wins and losses. So that when that is spoken, it has immense weight to it. And friends, it is the same with our faith. As we live and we trust God, how many of you found that it's not getting necessarily easier? Any of you? But how many of you can actually testify that the joy is getting deeper? You see, that's the mystery of the Christian life, is that by faith, he is taking us through things. And the more that it gets hard, suddenly there's a radical transformation. Instead of me looking for the life that's easy, suddenly my joy is attached to something. I'm getting more Jesus, because I want to tell you what the reward will be. It says that this crown will be presented to us. The gift of eternal life, the fullness of it. I got to tell you, I can't wait till the flesh of me is gone and I'm not embarrassed to be with my Savior. Anybody else? I know I'm forgiven, but I hate the flesh in me. That, you know, there's going to be a day when we step into heaven. And friends, if we're going to be awarded the crown of life, who is life? His name is Jesus. He came that we might have life, that we would have it abundantly. He is overcoming my sin in this world. But there's going to be a day when this whole idea of me seeing through a glass darkly is done. And when I see Him, I'm going to be like Him. And you know what that means? That means I will have absolute, unrestricted fullness of fellowship with the One who made me and died for me. I'm looking forward to the crown of life. How about you? It is no less mine today by faith. I believe it. Christ died for me. He set me free from my sin. It doesn't always feel like it. Any amens to that? But the truth is that God is by His purpose and plan taking me through things, shaping me and you, just like that. Hardship. Doing what? All that God can give us in this lifetime and all that trials can do to you, saved Christian, is give you more than Jesus. Give you more of Jesus and nothing else. Somebody rejoice over that? That is the good news. Friends, you have a reward. And the reward is so much more than going to heaven. I mean, I talk to some people about heaven. Man, I can't wait till, you know, this is there and I don't have to hurt. I'm going to see my grandfather, you know. And that all is cool. But frankly, friends, I could take every blessing I could conceive of that could possibly be part of heaven and remove every ugly ounce of anything that I think would detract from it. And heaven would be empty if Christ was not there. Amen? And if you were just going to an eternity of good stuff without Him, it would turn into hell really fast. But because He's there, and because you get all of Him, have you thought about it, Christian? Have you thought about the fact that someday, because there's a man on the throne of eternity, He can step across it and hug you? I don't know if that's going to happen, but eternity's a long time. I think you'll get to me. What do you think? I don't deserve it, and neither do you, but that's the reward. And it's bigger than pain, and it's bigger than sorrow, and it's bigger than COVID. Amen? And it's yours. So what do you need to do? Hold on. Persevere. Ask for wisdom. And God will do it. Let's pray. Jesus, I can't wait to see you face to face. God, help me not to reject your process of giving me yourself this week. Lord, I pray that for everyone here. God, sorrow is not easy, nor is it blessed. God, pain is not blessed. But when it becomes the tool by which we hold on to Jesus, it can be a reason for rejoicing. So I pray for everyone who came tonight, came in carrying the heart of this life. God, could they be reminded tonight you have a purpose in it? It's showing their faith. Preparing them more for the reward that's coming. God, you're doing an awesome work in us, and we'll trust you for it. We pray these things in our great Savior's name. All God's people said, Amen.